Journalist Cyrus Farivar knows a thing or two about surveillance. In his job reporting for Ars Technica, Farivar got the entire LPR data set from the Oakland Police Department. That's all the license plate scans they recorded and saved from December 2010 to May 2014. He says Oakland has no official policy for how long they keep all that information. And he says it's not the only problematic surveillance technique being used in the city and across the state. Farivar came into our studios to talk about his reporting with KALW's Sandhya Dirks.
We've heard about some of the concerns to do with capturing this data. What are some of the fears that you have about the police having and then storing indefinitely this information?
This is a technology that can scan at incredibly high speed all the license plates that it sees. So armed with enough license plate readers, a police department could gather an incredible amount of information about cars as they drive around the city. And so that's sort of one part. And then the second part is the fact that how this data is being used and how long it's being kept for. So different cities take different standards as to how long they feel is an appropriate retention limit, as it's called. In the case of Oakland, there actually is no formal retention limit. So
that's interesting because I think the cops that we talked to said that there were 2 years before they would then dump all the information.
Right. So that depends on whatever the agency feels like deciding is the appropriate limit. I should be clear. I have no evidence that the Oakland Police Department or any other law enforcement agency has abused this information. But there's no way for us to know for sure either. They don't audit who accesses that database. They officially have to state a reason, a law enforcement reason as to why they want to access the database, but those reasons are not made public. So we can't know who accessed the database for what and why.
So no one's watching the watchers.
Exactly.
So now let's talk about some of the other surveillance technologies that are being utilized in the Bay Area, like, for example, Stingray and ShotSpotter.
Right. So those are two other important surveillance technologies that are being used not only here in the Bay Area, but in many other cities around the country. I'll start with ShotSpotter. ShotSpotter is a type of audio detection device, essentially microphones, specialized microphones that are mounted up high on utility poles and other places in parts of the city where the police and city government has reason to believe that there are or will be gunshots. The idea is that people don't always report when they hear gunshots. So what they're designed to do is this software is designed to give an alert to the police when a gun has been fired in a certain area. So, again, in principle, that's good, right? You want the police to know when guns are being fired, especially in a city like Oakland, which unfortunately has something like 80 or 90 murders per year. But the problem with ShotSpotter is that, again, because they're microphones, they're not only recording gunshots, they're also recording people talking and just kind of daily, regular, normal activity that happens in a given area. And so even though the company that makes ShotSpotter has claimed that their equipment cannot detect a human voice, it has been shown that it actually can. You know, it may not be as clear as the microphones that you and I are using right now, but it's nonetheless a microphone.
And this is, of course, another case where they're going to specifically be in neighborhoods that are sort of have these contentious relationships
exactly.
with the government, with the police
exactly.
specifically.
Exactly.
I'm talking with Cyrus Farivar. He's a journalist who has reported on surveillance in Oakland.
Stingrays, on the other hand, are a different type of technology. They're, again, a surveillance tool. A stingray is a device that essentially acts as a fake cell tower. So it's a device that law enforcement uses that we know the Oakland Police Department has access to a stingray, to at least one stingray. They're used to primarily track people's phones and by extension, a person, right? So most of us carry phones with us. Most of us, if you're like me, my phone, which is right in front of me right now, my phone is almost always within arm's reach of me 24 hours a day, even when I'm sleeping. So if you know where my phone is, there's a really good chance you know where I am.
And that basically allows the police or anyone who's monitoring the stingray
right.
to figure out exactly where you are.
Exactly. So, right. So we know that it's being used to track people or to track suspects. We also know that stingrays have the capability to intercept calls and text messages, again, without the target's knowledge. Many police departments have said they don't do that or they don't have the capability of doing that. And it's really hard to know what that means exactly. It's not clear whether or not the device itself isn't capable of doing it or whether the device itself is capable of doing it, but the police choose not to use that function, or whether the company that makes that manufactures the Stingray, which is a company called the Harris Corporation, disables that function in the version that they sell to law enforcement, because they also make a version that they sell to the military and to security agencies like the CIA and the FBI and the DEA and various other federal law enforcement agencies. So it's not 100% clear why and how these things are being used and under what circumstances. If somebody was using a Stingray, let's say parked right outside this radio studio and was looking for me, all of the other phones within range, so we're talking probably 100 yards or more, are also affected by that same device. The Stingray doesn't know that it knows, once it's found me, it knows where I am. But I mentioned it's basically faking, it's acting as a fake cell tower. It's acting as a fake cell tower for every other phone that it encounters in that same geographic
area. So it's not just in targeting one person. Every person who's around that person is also sort of tracked in the same way.
Correct. And that's one of the problems of this type of technology.
It's indiscriminate in a sense.
It's indiscriminate, exactly.